إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 18th session dealing with the subject of Iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the book Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Naji al-Mansura, Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah. As we approach the end of this section dealing with Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last two questions, I would just like to remind us before we begin that from the most important objectives of this class is that we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His characteristics and qualities and His rights, the right of rububiyyah, yani tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah, tawheed al-asma wa sifat, that we learn these things in order to apply them, in order to apply them. So I remind myself first and all of us that we should read and study and reflect and memorize with the intention of utilizing this knowledge in order to get near to Allah and to earn His pleasure. Otherwise, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. The Qur'an, it is a proof for you or against you. And this knowledge will be a proof for you if you use it, and it will be a proof against you if you don't apply it in your life. What more important topic than the tawheed of asma wa sifat? To know Allah's beautiful names and His perfect qualities and characteristics in order to recognize the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we could give Him His right that is due to Him. Before we deal with question number 72, which we have in front of us tonight, we'd like to go back quickly and review some of the questions that we placed with question number 71. And if you have, if you were present and you have written some answer, or you have reviewed the matter and you know the answer, please, yani participate. Participate. Don't leave it to a few people, inshallah. So, question number 71. What is the meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying concerning al-asma al-husna? What is the meaning of this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Lillahi tis'atan wa tis'ina isman man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names amongst His many names, and Allah knows best how many names He has. But from amongst them there are 99. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. That was our topic last week, and the Shaykh has given, the author has given three explanations for this expression, and we want you to mention two of these explanations separately. If somebody can mention one of them, somebody else mention another, that will be sufficient. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, no. Now, fadl. It doesn't just mean memorizing them, but rather it means learning them and calling on Him by His names. Now, okay, that's the central theme of the meaning. Now, but the author, Hafiz Hakami, he gave two specific interpretations. Well, he gave three, I mean. He gave one short one and two, yani, longer ones. نعم يا صالح. Now, from those names which are suitable for you to apply to yourself, to be described with, then you should try to act in accordance with them. Yani being merciful, generous, kind, whatever. Now, that's part of one of the answers. Now, he divided them into four categories, and that's one part. Now, whatever is not suitable for you, but only suitable for Allah, which Allah has made exclusively for Himself. Now, we acknowledge these names that they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we surrender and submit and humble ourselves in front of yani these names that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, whatever has the meaning of wa'ad or promise, like anybody, al-ghafoor, naam, huh? Tawwab. And Allah is forgiving, He accepts repentance, He's generous, He gives freely, and so on, like this. Now, then what about that one you said? What about those names that contain the meaning of a promise from Allah? Now, put yourself in a position to receive that promise, that Allah is forgiving, that Allah is merciful, that Allah is generous. Now, you should do the things that would entitle you to receive that promise. Now, Naam. The names that have within them a warning, a threat, al-wa'id, like muntaqim, naam, muntiqam, shadeed al-iqab, sareer al-hisab, naam. Huh? That's a different part of the answer. Yeah, we should fear. We should have fear and be in awe of those yani qualities or characteristics or names which contain an indication that Allah will punish those who disobey Him, that Allah is severe in punishment, that He is swift in taking account. This should make a Muslim conscious of their behavior and should be in fear and awe of these threatening yani qualities for the person who deserves them. Now, this is one of the answers that the Shaykh gave. Okay, another answer. Another explanation that he gave. Another answer, explanation is Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakimi. First explanation he gave is very short. Nobody, I thought everybody would know that one if they didn't know anything else. Now, yeah. I don't want to say your name because you didn't put your hand up. Okay, the short explanation the Shaykh he gave, he said that we should, that the meaning of ihsaha, من ahsaha دخل الجنة, it means that a person should memorize these names. حَفْظُهَا Memorize them. And the person should make dua to Allah by them, should supplicate to Allah by them, and that the person should praise Allah with all of these names. Praise Allah with these names. So a person should memorize them and then use them in dua and in praise and in glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third explanation that the Shaykh gave is very lengthy, but the summary of it, the essence of the answer, the third answer, is shuhud al-abd. Shuhud al-abd. Shuhud, yani that the person witnesses something of the sifat of Allah. And he gave the example of al-ulu. That the person witnesses this and then gives it its right that is due to it. From two perspectives. Ma'rifatan wa ubudiyatan. Knowing those names and sifat, and then worshipping Allah by them. The example he gave, the ulu of Allah. That a person witnessed that Allah is, yani al-ali, al-a'la, al-muta'al, that He's high above the creation. That He istawa ala arshihi, He ascended above His throne. That He is separate, completely and distinct from His creation, and yet at the same time, He encompassed them with His knowledge and His power and all of the other qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who witnessed this, and then they worship Allah in accordance with what it dictates. Yani meaning that in light of this, with consciousness of this, the person who is aware of that feels some, they feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above them, and yet He knows what they are doing and He deserves to be honored, to be respected, to be exalted, to be glorified. And therefore they fear that something that they say or something that they do will go up to Allah and will be displayed in front of Allah, and they will be shamed and disgraced in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And for that reason, that person what? Changed their behavior. So these are the explanations that the Shaykh has given, three of them, and this is the summary of it. After this, we said, mention the explanation of this expression given by Al-Imam Uthaymeen rahimahullah in Kitab al-Tawheed. What was the explanation that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, how did he explain it? And he's similar, the meanings that the scholars have given are all similar if you examine them carefully. But some they have specified, giving more detail, and certain they are focused on certain points related to it. Now, Naam. Al-ihata biha, lafzan wa ma'anan. That the person encompass these names, yani have a grasp on them totally, as much as possible. Lafzan wa ma'anan, meaning know the names, what are the names of Allah, and also know their meanings. That's critical. To not just memorize the names, the expressions, but to know their meanings. These two have to go together. First, second point. To make dua to Allah with these names. To supplicate to Allah by His names. Naam. And the last one, third point. تَتَعَبَّدْ بِمُقْتَضَاهَا. That a person should worship Allah. And your relationship with Allah. Because everything that we do that is pleasing to Allah, whether it's speech or action, if it's done sincerely for the sake of Allah, then it's worship. So every act that we do, in light of the meanings of Allah's names, then it should be an act of worship. We should worship Allah by these names. And the Shaykh gave a number of examples. He said, for example, if you know that Allah is Al-Ghafoor, then you should act in such a way that you can receive His forgiveness. And if you know Allah is Ar-Rahim, you should act in a way that you receive His mercy. And if you know Allah is As-Sami', that He hears everything, that you should be careful to avoid saying something that will be displeasing to Allah. And if you know Allah is Al-Basir, that He sees everything, then you should be careful from doing an action that will be seen by Allah that will be displeasing to Him. And so on, to the end of what he said concerning this. So this is the general meaning of what the Shaykh said. And the last question that we had, related to the Shaykh's explanation on this topic, mentioned two meanings of dua of Allah by His Asma al-Husna, given by Al-Imam al-Uthaymeen. What are the two things? He said that the dua of Allah is of two types. And the scholars, of course, before said this. I mean, it's not something that he came with. But we read it from him last week. What are the two types of dua? Somebody help us. Dua al-mas'ala. Naam, Abu Bakr. Dua al-ibadah. Making dua to Allah by calling Him by His names. Naam. Dua, that's dua. Which one? Now, al-ibadah, tayyib. By doing acts of worshipping Allah in accordance with what His names dictate. Now, and the other one, dua al-mas'ala. What does this mean, dua al-mas'ala? To ask Allah. When you make dua and you ask Allah for something, use His names. Use His names. Yani when you are in some dangerous situation, you can call on Allah. You ask Allah to protect you by what name? Huh? As-salam, al-hafiz, al-hafiz, naam, like this. By His names, okay? Calling Allah by His names, naam. So this is the summary of what we covered last week. And tonight, inshallah, we take like the next to the last question from this section. And that is, question number 72. Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, in this question he says, ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ ما ضد التوحيد؟ Which tawheed? Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. What is the opposite of the tawheed of the beautiful names of Allah and His sifat? What is the opposite of this tawheed? And the answer to this question is somewhat lengthy, but the first part of the answer is what we are looking for in the beginning. And that is, He said, ضِدُّهُ الْإِلْحَادِ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. Yani, what is the opposite of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? Yani, that which contradicts it, that which negates it, which nullifies it. By the way, first we should say, what is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? What is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? Before we talk about the opposite of it, what is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? And we talked about this some weeks ago, a while back. Now, that was one of the questions that the Shaykh gave. Now, it has to do with the attributes of Allah. Uh-huh. The names and attributes of Allah. Naam. Anything else? Naam.
Accepting all of Allah's names from Quran and Sunnah.
Accepting all of Allah's names from Quran and Sunnah. Naam. And knowing that they're only for Him. And He's singling Him out for these names. The beautiful names belong to Allah alone. Naam. Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat is al-Iman. Having Iman in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named Himself with or described Himself with in the Qur'an. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has named Him with or described Him with in the authentic Sunnah. Confirming all of this, just as it came, without reinterpreting it, distorting its meaning, or negating its meaning, or making examples or comparisons and so on, without tahrif, yani distorting the meaning, or tamthil or tashbih, making examples and comparisons, without ta'atil, emptying of its meaning or negating them outright. That believing in whatever Allah has named Himself with, and what the Prophet ﷺ have named Him with, and what He has described Himself with, of the beautiful names and the perfect qualities in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, just as they came, without giving reinterpretation to them, without negating them or making comparisons or likenesses. This is what Tawheed, this is what we mean by Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat. Now the question today is, what is the opposite? What contradicts Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat? And the Shaykh says, the first part of his answer is very brief. ضِدُّهُ الْإِلْحَادِ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. The opposite of it is al-ilhad. In the names of Allah, the characteristics of Allah, and the ayat of Allah. And the Shaykh, he talks about the first two, al-asma wa sifat, in his answer, but he doesn't talk about the ayat. But that's also part of al-ilhad. What is al-ilhad? The Shaykh, he uses this expression, and he doesn't give us a definition of it, but he gives us examples of it. So before we go to the examples and the divisions of Ilhad, which he said are three, we'll say, for example, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, Al-Ilhad, logatan is al-mail. Yani linguistically, Al-Ilhad, it means al-mail. Yani to incline, to bend, to deviate or to depart. To deviate from what is correct or right or true. To depart from it, to bend. To incline away from it, to turn away from it, to abandon it, to reject it. This is al-mail. That's the meaning of al-had, al-mail. In Lisan al-Arab, the most famous dictionary of Arabic language, it's mentioned, ma'an al-had fi al-lugha al-mailu an al-qasti. Yani turning away from al-qast. Al-qast al-niyya, the intention, or the hadaf, the objective, the goal. Turning away from that which you should be going towards. Turning away from it, deviating, departing from it, from the objective, the goal. And he said, for example, the word al-lahd or luhud, both of them are correct in Arabic language. It is ash-shaqqu alladhi yakunu fi janib al-qabr, mawdi al-mayyit, li'annahu qad umila an al-wasat ila janibihi. So al-lahd is from the word, yani from the same root as al-had. Al-lahd is the type of grave where there's a hole dug in the side of the grave, inside of the grave, and then to one side. There's a hole dug in the side, and that's the place where the body is put in. And then it's closed up, and then the dirt is put into the grave. He said, this is a lahad, it's called lahad, because the place where the body is set, yamilu an al-wasat, because it goes away, it inclines away from the middle, to the side of the grave, not in the middle. And likewise, Ibn Sakkit, he said, al-mulhid, also from the same root. It means al-adil an al-haq, al-mudkhil fihi ma laysa fihi, Al-Mulhid. Yani the Mulhid is the person who turns away from the truth and places within it that which is not a part of it. And we will see how this is relevant to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. But otherwise, Al-Mulhid is the one who has deviated from the truth in the deen. Yani who has gone astray from the deen. وَيُقَالْ قَدْ أَلْحَدَ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَحَدَ أَيْ حَادَ عَنْهُ. Yani when you say in Arabic, قَدْ أَلْحَدَ فِي الدِّينِ, it means that the person has turned away from the deen. They have turned away. They have deviated from it. And the original meaning of Al-Had, some of the scholars said, as is mentioned in Lisan al-Arab, it means al-mail, yani to disincline, or al-udul, to abandon from something, to abandon something. Wa al-hada fil haram, al-hada fil haram, it means the person has abandoned the qasd, yani the goal or the objective, in that which they have been commanded with, and then they have inclined towards al-dhulm. Al-dhulm meaning what? Putting something in other than its right place. They what? Turned away from the objective. And they inclined towards, yani, putting something in other than its proper place. And some further definitions like this, and a lot of definitions, yani, al-had, it means turning away from al-haq, turning away from al-istiqamah, uprightness, turning away from the deen, and so on. Yani, to deviate, to go astray, to abandon the truth. These are some of the meanings of al-ilhad, and there are many meanings, and many of the scholars yani have given meanings, and we don't have time to mention all of them. But let's go on with the answer of the Shaykh. He said that what is the opposite of tawheed in asma wa sifat? He said it is al-ilhad, yani deviation, turning away from the truth in reference to the names of Allah and his sifat and his ayat. Wa huwa thalathatu anwa. Shaykh Hafidh al-Hakami, he says, and it is three types of ilhad. And by the way, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, ilhad is four types. And Allama ibn al-Qayyim said, ilhad is five types. And other scholars mention other types. And all of them are related to one another, some of them being subdivisions of others. But that's how they have explained it. Hafidh al-Hakami, he said, three types. And we will look at what Ibn al-Qayyim said, five types, and what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, four types. And they are all in agreement with one another. The first type, ilhad al-mushrikeen, the ilhad of the mushriks, the pagans. The second type, ilhad al-mushabbiha, the ilhad of the people who do tashbih, who make comparisons between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. And the third type, ilhad al-nufat al-mu'attila, yani the ilhad of the people who negate Allah's names and sifat, who empty them of their meaning, make them inoperative in one way or another. And there are two types, the Shaykh says. So he said these are three types. Ilhad of the mushrikeen, ilhad of the mushabbiha, who do tashbih, make comparisons between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of His created beings, and ilhad of the nufat al-mu'attila. Al-nufat al-mu'attila. Those who deny, who negate, and who empty the names and sifat of Allah of any meaning. As far as the first of them, الحاد المشركين الذين عدلوا بأسماء الله تعالى أما هي عليه وسموا بها أوثانهم فزادوا ونقصوا واشتقوا اللات من الإله والعزة من العزيز والمنات من المنان. The mushriks who altered, who changed, who modified the names of Allah from their original state. And then they named their idols, their false gods, with these altered, modified names that they took from the names of Allah. So they added something to them, or they took something away from them, and derived in this way, Al-Lat, the name of one of their idols, their pagan gods. They took Al-Lat from the name Al-Ilah, or as some scholars said, from the name Allah. And Al-Uzza, another idol of the Arabs, The pagans, Al-Uzza, that they derived in this manner from the name of Allah, Al-Aziz. And Manat, which they derived from the name of Allah, Al-Mannan. Al-Mannan. So this is the first type of ilhad, that is distorting the names of Allah, changing them, altering them, and then naming the idols with them. For what purpose? In order to try to raise up the status of the idols to make them similar to Allah, by naming them with names close to the names of Allah, to try to make the idols equal to Allah, because they worship them along with Allah. Naam. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in reference to this particular one, he says, Ibn Qayyim says, of the five that he mentioned, he said, أَنْ يُسَمِّي الْأَسْنَامْ بِهَا, yani to name the idols with these names. كَتَسْمِيَتِهِمْ أَلَّاتْ مِنَ الْإِلَهِ وَالْعُزَّةِ مِنَ الْعَزِيزِ, yani like they're naming Allat, from taking it from the name Al-Ilah, and Al-Uzza taking from the name Aziz. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said on this point, to derive from the names of Allah names for their idols, the way the mushriks extracted Al-Uzza min Al-Aziz, to derive from the names of Allah names for their idols, like the extraction of the pagans, Al-Lat from Ilah and Uzza from Aziz. The second type, Ilhad al-Mushabbiha. The second type, Hafiz al-Hakami mentions, Ilhad, the deviation of al-Mushabbiha, the people who do tashbih. الَّذِينَ يُكَيِّفُونَ صِفَاتَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَيُشَبِّهُونَهَا بِصِفَاتْ خَلْقِهِ, yani those who used to explain the how of the sifat of Allah, try to discuss how they are, the reality of them. How do you explain Allah is ascending or His descending? Or how is Allah's face or His hands? They attempted to do so, and in the process, they made tashbih. Yani they made resemblance or comparisons between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of His created beings. And the Shaykh, he says, وَهُمْ مُقَابِلْ لِإِلْحَادِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and this is in opposition or in contradiction or opposed to, different from the ilhad of the mushriks. The mushabbiha, they are the people who identify themselves as Muslims from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they made tashbih. And their ilhad is different than the ilhad of the mushriks, the pagan disbelievers. For those pagans, they used to make the al-makhluq sawu al-makhluq bi rabbil alameen. They made the created being equal to the Lord of the worlds. While these people from who identify themselves from the Ummah of Muhammad, the Mushabbiha, they جَعَلُوهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأَجْسَامِ الْمَخْلُوقَةِ وَشَبَّهُ بِهَا تَعَالَى وَتَقَدَّسْ. They did the opposite. They brought Allah down to the station of the created beings, created bodies. And then they compared Him to them, to the created beings. تَعَالَى وَتَقَدَّسَ, yani Allah is high above and far removed and free of what they have compared Him to. Naam. And Ibn Qayyim says concerning this, yani the ilhad of the mushabbiha, he said, الْخَامِس, the fifth type, he mentions it as the fifth type, تَشْبِيح صِفَاتِهِ بِصِفَاتِ خَلْقِهِ, that is, making comparison between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of His created beings. Making comparison between them. And there's no comparison between them, between the sifat of Allah, even if the same names are used. If Allah is hearing, and human being hears, or an animal hears, or an insect hears, but that hearing is not the same. There's no comparison whatsoever between them. They are completely unalike. Allah's sifat are divine, and the created beings, their sifat are imperfect. Walaykum as-salam. And I'd like to mention here, from Surah Al-Shu'ara, 26 Surah, 98th ayat, an interesting ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that on Yawmul Qiyamah, when these people are faced with their punishment and they will be arguing with one another, and they will say, Tallahi, in kunna lafi dalalin mubeen. Indeed, definitely, we were in clear error. Idh nusawwikum bi rabbil alameen. When we made you equal, the idols, the gods that they worship, equal to the Lord of the worlds. We were indeed what? Fi dalalin mubeen. Naam. Far astray, clearly astray. Because they used to make what? The created beings equal to Rabbil Alameen. And the third type of ilhad that the Shaykh mentions, and he mentions only three types. The third type, ilhad al-nufat al-mu'attila. Al-nufat, those who make nafi, who negate the names or the sifat of Allah. And mu'attila, those who empty them of their meanings, make them inoperative. And the first, the nufat, is a more general description of rejecting and negating the names or the sifat of Allah. And mu'attila is more specific type of nafi, a particular type of nafi. And the Shaykh, he says here, وَهُمْ قِسْمَانَ. There are two divisions. One division who confirmed the wordings, the alfaz of asma'ihi, of the names of Allah. They confirmed the wordings. وَنَفَعُوا عَنْهُ مَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. But they negated from him that which those names contain within them, which they pointed to or indicated of the sifat of perfection, the characteristics of perfection. Meaning they confirmed Allah's names, but they negated the meanings that are contained within them. They said, Rahim, Rahman, Rahim, Bila Rahma. They said, He is Rahman, He is Rahim. But they deny the Rahma, the sifa of perfection of Allah, of Rahma, of mercy. They said, Alim, Bila Ilm, Sami' Bila Sam', Basir, Bila Basar, Qadir, Bila Qudra. Yani that Allah is Alim, all-knowing but without knowledge, all-hearing but without hearing, all-seeing but without seeing, all-powerful but without power. And likewise, they threw away the rest of his, yani, names and sifat in this manner. That's the first group. They confirmed the wordings of Allah's names, but they negated, they denied, they rejected the meanings that are contained with them, the sifat of perfection. And another division, he said, second division, sarrahu binafi asma. Yani those clearly, they stated openly, clearly, that they negate the names of Allah, the names of Allah, as well as what they contain, bilkulliyya, completely. Yani they rejected the names of Allah and His sifat of perfection. وَوَصَفُوا بِالْعَدَمِ الْمَحْضِ. Yani they described Him with pure non-existence. الَّذِي لَا إِسْمَ لَهُ وَلَا صِفَةَ لَهُ. Yani the one who doesn't have any name and he doesn't have any characteristic. Subhanallah wa ta'ala amma yaqul al-zalimuna al-jahiduna al-mulhiduna uluwan kabira. And the Shaykh, he closes this statement of these three types by saying, Subhanallah wa ta'ala, that Allah is the one who's free of all imperfections. He is high and far removed from what the zalimun, the wrongdoers, which include the mushriks and kuffar and others, al-jahidun, those who deny, al-mulhidun, those who deviated and corrupted, uluwan kabira. Allah is high, far, removed, free from what they say about Him. And of this third type, al-Allamah ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions the nufat and the mu'attila. He says, he mentioned it as the fourth type, ta'til al-asma an ma'aniha wa jahdu haqa'iqiha. The ta'til, the emptying of the names from their meanings, taking the meanings out of them, and the denying of their realities, what they really indicate and what they mean. Like the saying of those from amongst the Jahmiyyah and those who followed them, innaha alfaz mujarrada. That they are simply expressions, words, yani without any meaning. لَا تَتَضَمَّنُوا صِفَاتٍ وَلَا مَعَانِي. They don't contain within them any characteristics or meanings. And this, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions those, he mentions them with this description in two different places. In one place he said that the Mu'attila, they are those who deny something, yani some of, maybe, of the names of Allah's sifat. Or those who deny that which those names indicate or point to of characteristics or qualities of perfection, like what was done by the Jahmiyyah. And in another place he said, مِمَّا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ. Yani they deny that which is indicated, what the names point to of the characteristics or qualities, كَمَا فَعَلَ الْمُعَطِّلَ. And in this place he referred to them as the Mu'attila. And the Mu'attila are Jahmiyyah. I mean the Jahmiyyah are from the Mu'attila, those who empty the names of Allah from their meanings. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, as I said, five categories. So the Shaykh, he has mentioned three. The ilhal of the mushrikeen, who name their idols with the names that they derive from the names of Allah. The ilhal of the mushabbiha, those who make comparisons between the qualities, the characteristics of Allah and the characters of created beings. And the ilhal of the nufat and the mu'attila, those who denied or negated Allah's names or their meanings, or and or their meanings, both, some of them. These are the three categories that he mentioned. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions a fourth category. He mentions tasmiyatuhu ta'ala bima la yaliku bi jalalihi. Yani naming Allah the Most High with that which is not befitting of His Majesty. Is not befitting of His Majesty. Giving Him a name that's not befitting of Allah. كَالتَّسْمِيَةِ النَّصَارَ لَهُ أَبًا. Like the Christians who named Allah with the name the Father. That's a name that is not befitting of Allah. It's not befitting of His Majesty, His glory and His greatness. Or the tasmiyah of the philosophers, mujiban bidhatihi, or illa tafa'ila bittab'i. Yani they gave Allah some names that are not befitting of Him. Yani they named Him with what? The one who necessitates things. Bidhatihi, by His divine being, things are necessitated, come into existence. Or the illa tafa'ila, the cause of every action, of the one who does an action, Allah is the cause of it, naturally. These are names or descriptions that are not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not named Himself or described Himself with in the Qur'an, nor has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Him with in the authentic sunnah. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen also mentions this as the fourth category, because he mentions that the categories of ilhad or the types of ilhad are four. He says, to name Allah with that which He has not named Himself with, like the Christians named Him the Father. And in another place he said, to name Allah with that which He didn't name Himself with, لِأَنَّ أَسْمَاءَ اللَّهَ تَوْقِفِيَّ. Because the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. You cannot name Allah with that which He didn't name Himself with, because the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. That means they stop. There's tawakkuf, you have to stop with the names of Allah, His sifat, but what He has named Himself with, and can't go beyond that. What came in the Qur'an and in the sunnah and the revelation? And we don't go beyond that. And this is like the naming of the Christians, calling Him the Father, or and likewise, like Ibn Qayyim said, the philosophers and so on. And these are four categories. And the fifth category that Ibn Qayyim mentions, that Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami didn't mention, nor did Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mention, the fifth category, he says, الثالثة وصفه تعالى وتقدس بالنقائص. Yani describing Allah the Most High, the one who is holy and pure, with characteristics of defect, of imperfection, نقائص, defects, shortcomings, imperfection. Like the saying of the Yahud. Now here we had, right, we had the ilhad of the Christians, and we had the ilhad of the pagans, the mushriks, and we had the ilhad of the people from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad, the Mushabbiha and the Mu'attila. And here Ibn Qayyim mentions the ilhad of the Yahud. Yahud, don't leave them out. All of the people of deviation had ilhad of some type or another. He said, وَصْفُهُ تَعَالَى وَتَقَدَّسْ بِالنَّقَائِسِ, describing Him with characteristics of imperfection. Like the saying of the Yahud, إِنَّهُ فَقِيرٌ. They said that Allah is poor. Or they're saying, إِنَّهُ إِسْتَرَاحَ بَعْدَ أَنْ خَلَقَ خَلْقِهِ. That He took a rest after He created His creation. It is not becoming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be described with such. Or they're saying, yadullahi maghloola, that the hand of Allah is tied, that Allah is not spending freely, that He's, a'udhu billah min hadha al-kalam, naam. And the likeness of these things, min ma huwa ilhad fi asma'i wa sifatihi. So these are the five categories, or the fifth of the categories from Ibn Qayyim, that was not mentioned by the author in the book here. And we also want to mention some discussion briefly from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen concerning Ilhad. In more than one place, he talked about this topic in a number of his books, in Tadmuriyya, Wasatiyya, and in other places. And he said, and I mentioned this because here he mentions the four categories which we have already mentioned, but I want to talk about another point that he mentions here. He said, Ilhad lugatan means al-mail, yani turning away, yani deviating from al-qasd, from al-haq, from al-istiqamah, deviating from the truth, or that which is uprightness. Wa istilahan, yani in the technical language of the sharia, he said, al-ilhad means al-mail amma yajibu i'tiqaduhu aw amaluhu. Yani technically, he said, in the sharia, al-ilhad means turning away from that which is obligatory for you to believe in and obligatory for you to act upon. Yani from the i'tiqad, the aqidah, and the amal, the action or worship that is obligatory, turning away from that. So here the shaykh is saying that in the sharia, that ilhad is not only in matters of aqidah, in matters of asma wa sifat, but he's saying it is what? Also in actions, in ibadah, turning away from, it's also ilhad. وَيَكُونُ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ. And this ilhad is sometimes in reference to the names of Allah, based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 180th Ayat, وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And leave those who deviate concerning His names. وَيَكُونُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And it also, ilhad is also in the ayat of Allah, based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah, 40th Ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا. That verily those who deviate in our ayat, they are not hidden from us. So here the shaykh is saying what? That this ilhad is not only in the asma of Allah, but it's also in the ayat of Allah. And then in another place the shaykh talks about this, and he says, أَمَّا الْإِلْحَادِ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ نَوْعَانِ. That the ilhad in the ayat of Allah, we already talked about the ilhad in the names of Allah, in the sifat of Allah. But the shaykh Hafiz al-Hakim, he said in the beginning of his answer to this question, that it is, the ilhad is in the asma of Allah, and the sifat of Allah, and the ayat of Allah. But the shaykh, he didn't talk about the ayat of Allah in his answer to this question. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen talks about this. What is Hafiz al-Hakim referring to when he said ilhad in the ayat of Allah? He says that the ilhad in the ayat of Allah, they are of two types, naw'an. One, al-ilhad fi ayat al-shara'iyya. Fi al-ayat al-shara'iyya. The ilhad in the ayat of the sharia. Yani in the revelation, in the Quran. And two, al-ilhad fi ayat al-qawniyya. The ilhad in the universal ayat, yani the ayat that are in the signs that are in what Allah created in the universe. So the ilhad in ayatullah are of two types: the ayat al-shar'iyya, yani al-Qur'aniyya, wal ayat al-qawniyya, the ayat that we see in the universe and in ourselves and in everything that Allah has created, in whatever Allah has created. So as far as the ilhad in the ayat al-shar'iyya, التي هي الوحي النازل على الأنبياء. He said, this means what? The ayat al-shar'iyya means that which has been revealed, the revelation which has descended upon the prophets. And in another place he said, هي ما جاءت به الرسل من الأحكام والأخبار. Yani the ayat al-shar'iyya is that which the messengers have brought from ahkam, legal rulings, and akhbar, information about the past or the future or whatever. These are the ayat al-shar'iyya. And the ilhad in them, in one place he said, هو تحريفها أو تكذيبها أو مخالفتها. It is distorting them, distorting the ayat al-shar'iyya, the ayat of the Quran, distorting their meanings, or takdhibuha, denying them, or mukhalafatuha, opposing them, contradicting them. And another place he made more clear the meaning of this, he said, tahrifuha, distorting them, or takdhib akhbaraha, takdhib akhbariha, yani denying the information that came in the revelation through the prophets and messengers. أو إصيان أحكامها يعني مخالفته. He said مخالفة means disobedience of the أحكام, the legal rulings that the messengers and prophets brought with the revelation. As far as the إلحاد في آيات القونية يعني the deviation in the آيات القونية, the universal signs التي هي المخلوقات يعني these universal signs is what? The makhluqat, everything that Allah has created. Yani everything in existence besides Allah. Everything in existence besides Allah. And in another place he said, هي ما خلقه الله ويخلقه في السماوات والأرض. It is that which Allah has created, yani in the past, and that which Allah continues to create in the heavens and in the earth. And what is the ilhad in the ayat al-qawni, in the universal signs, in the creation that Allah has created and continues to create? And one place he said, هو إنكار إنفراد الله بها. Yani the person who rejects the idea that Allah is alone in the creating of whatever He created in the heavens and the earth. That He is alone, rejecting this idea that Allah is the only creator. Yani by what? By believing that there is someone who alone has created something or some of something without Allah. Or that Allah has with him musharikan fil khalq aw mu'inan, that he has someone who shares with him in the creation of the creation, or someone who helps him in creating the creation. This is ilhad, what? In the ayat al-qawniyya. In another place the Shaykh rahimahullah said, فَهُوَ نِسْبَتُهَا إِلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ, yani attributing anything in the creation to other than Allah. This is ilhad fi ayat al-qawniyya. واعتقاد شريك أو معين له فيها, or somebody believing that Allah has someone who shares with him or who helps him in the creation of the creation. And finally the Shaykh says, والإلحاد بقسمي حرام, and the إلحاد of both types, إلحاد in the آيات الشرعية, the آيات in the Quran, or آيات القونية, the universal signs, this إلحاد of both types, it is حرام. And this is based on the ayats that we mentioned earlier from Surah Al-A'raf 7180 and Surah Al-Fussilat 41-40, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, يعني leave those who deviate concerning the names of Allah, سَيُجَزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, they will indeed be recompensed. They will be يعني called to account and they will be given a reward for what they do. يعني what kind of reward will it be? It is clear. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the other ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْهَا عَلَيْنَا, that indeed those who deviate concerning our ayat, they are not hidden from us. And Allah closes this ayat by saying, أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ, is the one who's thrown into the fire for deviating concerning the names of Allah and His ayat and His sifat, is the one who's thrown in the fire better? أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, or the one who comes on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ safe and secure from the punishment of Allah. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ, do whatever you like. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. What a threat. What a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do whatever you like. Indeed, He is basir. He is seeing all that you are doing. And the Shaykh closes by saying, وَمِنَ الْإِلْحَادِ مَا يَكُونُ كُفْرًا, and there's some types of ilhad that is kufr. حسب ما تقتديه نصوص الكتاب والسنة. Yani based upon what is necessitated by the Quran and the Sunnah. And we can see that some of this ilhad is definitely kufr. Clearly the ilhad of the mushrikeen is kufr. And the ilhad of the Nasara and the Yahud is kufr. And some of the ilhad of the people who identify with the Ummah of Muhammad, some of it is also kufr. The negation of Allah's names and His sifat outright is definitely kufr. And the Shaykh closes this answer. He closes this answer by mentioning three ayahs from the Qur'an. And if anybody read the answer to this question, I would have hoped that you reflected upon those ayat. And this is what is really expected from the talibul ilm. And the Muslim who loves his deen and who loves the sunnah and who identifies with the sunnah, every one of us should be a talibul ilm. So this is obligatory to seek knowledge of this deen. And what is required of us is that we read with care. Whatever we read, that when we learn, that we examine it and reflect upon it. Why did the Shaykh mention these three ayats at the end of his answer? With no comment whatsoever. He just closed after mentioning the types of ilhad. He mentioned three ayats. Why did he mention these three ayats? Well, let's see. One of these ayats, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th ayat. Why did he mention this ayat? رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and what is between them. Therefore, worship Him. And Tawheed al-Rububiyyah necessitates Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. Whoever acknowledges that Allah is the Rabb of samawati wal ard and what is between them, that necessitates that they worship Him alone. He is the only Rabb of everything. How can there be anyone who deserves to be worshipped along with Him? So Allah orders us, فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ, and be patient and consistent and constant in this worship. Not like the people who worship Allah for a few years and then they drop out. Or the people who worship Allah in Ramadan and they drop out. Or the people who worship Allah some days and other days they don't. They pray sometimes and other times they don't. They pray on time sometimes, and sometimes they pray when they get ready to. No. No. Wastabir. Have sabr. Patience. Consistency. Perseverance in the worship of Allah. Hal ta'lamu lahu samiyya. And the tafsirs of this ayah are many, and from amongst them, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Do you know that he has any sami, anyone who has an ism, like his name, the same name, or that is equal to him with this name and what it entails? Hafidh ibn Kathir says, قَالَ عَلِي ibn Abi Talha عَنْ ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لِلْرَبْ مَثِيلًا أَوْ شَبِيهًا. Do you know that the Rabb, that he has a mathil or shabih, anyone that is like him or similar to him? And this is likewise the saying of Mujahid and Sa'id ibn Jubayr and others. Al-Imam al-Shawkani, his tafsir, mentioned a long discussion, but we don't have time to mention the whole of the discussion. But in part he said, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know that he has, that anyone has his name or is equal to him in his names or in the characteristics that those names indicate? Is there anyone with Allah and these sharing with Him? He said the meaning, al-istifham lil-inkar, that this question is not a question, it is a rejection, inkar, rejection of the idea that there could be such a thing, that there is any sami for Allah, anyone who is like Him or equal to Him, who has the same name. This question is lil-istinkar, it is rejecting, there is no such thing as there being a sami for Allah. Yani rejecting the idea, أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِثْلٌ وَلَا نَظِيرٌ. There is no one that is like him or that is equal to him, such that therefore they should share in the worship that is due to him alone. And he goes on to say further on, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا يَسْتَحِقُّ وَيُقَالَ لَهُ خَالِقٌ قَادِرٌ عَالِمٌ بِمَا كَانَ وَبِمَا يَكُونُ. Do you know? يعني, do we have any such knowledge that Allah has a sami, someone who has the same name? Yani equal in the meaning of that name, therefore they have the right and deserve that it be said about them that they are khaliqun. Does anyone deserve to have the name khaliqun? Qadirun, the one who has power, all powerful. Alimun, who has knowledge of everything that has been and everything that will be. And so in this way, we say there is no sami for Allah in any of His names, that they belong to Him alone. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in his tafsir, and he really I like to give the whole of what he said, and we have a few minutes, inshallah. So I like to give the whole of what he said, and I really, even though we know that the tafsir of Ibn Kathir is the classic tafsir that we cannot do without, and the other tafsirs are also beneficial. Is the brother calling me there? Fine. But there's a certain beauty in the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, that will touch the heart of the believer. If you read it, you will find that it is addressing you. And you will find that which you need to apply in your own life. You will feel that you are not reading something that's far from you, but rather it will be close to you. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَعْبُدُهُ وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيعًا. Do you know that he has a Sami? Bismillah wa salatu salam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيعًا. Do you know that Allah has a Musamiya? Someone who is named with his name. Mushabiha, someone who is comparable or similar to him. Mumathila, someone who is like him. مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, from the created beings. Do we know such a thing? وَهَذَا الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ بِمَعْنَى النَّفْيِ الْمَعْلُومِ بِالْعَقْلِ. And the meaning of this question is the negation of that which is known even by the intellect. Intellectually it is known that there is no Sami for Allah. There is no one who is like Allah, similar to Allah, comparable to Allah. Why do we say this? Because you don't know that Allah has any Musamiyan, someone who is entitled to have his name, or Mushabihan, someone who is entitled to be compared to him. لِأَنَّهُ الرَّبُ, because Allah is the Rabb. وَغَيْرُهُ مَرْبُوبُ, and everything besides him is subjected to his rububiyya, and he being taken care of by him. And Allah is Al-Khaliq, the creator, and everything besides him is makhluq, created by him. And Allah is Al-Ghani مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. Allah is the one who is rich, free of need from every perspective, however you want to look at it, from every angle. وَغَيْرُهُ فَقِيرٌ بِالذَّاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهِ. And anyone other than him, and everything other than him, is in poverty, in need, in itself from every perspective. And Allah is Al-Kamil, the one who is complete and perfect. الَّذِي لَهُ الْكَمَالَ الْمُطْلَقُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. He is the one who has the right and is entitled to be described with the absolute perfection from every angle. وَغَيْرُهُ نَاقِصٌ. And anyone other than him is defective. لَيْسَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْكَمَالِ إِلَّا مَا عَطَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And he doesn't have any aspect or any bit of perfection except whatever Allah has given to him. So this is a clear, decisive proof that Allah is the one who is مُسْتَحِقْ لِإِفْرَادِهِ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ, who has the right to be singled out for worship, and that the worship of him is haq, is true. And that the worship of anyone other than him is batil, falsehood. And for this reason he has commanded that he be worshipped alone, and that we be patient and persevere in the worship of him. And the Shaykh closes by saying, وَعَلَّلَ ذَلِكَ بِكَمَالِهِ وَإِنْفِرَادِهِ بِالْعَظَمَةِ وَالْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى. And he has qualified this reality that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped by what? By his perfection, and by him being alone in his greatness and magnificence, and in being deserving of the beautiful names. So the Shaykh, he mentioned this ayah for what? In order for us to see that all that we are talking about, Ilhad, in the names of Allah, that Allah alone, that he is alone in these names and in these qualities, and whoever deviates or turns away from them, or distorts or denies them or negates them, then indeed they have deviated from the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to these beautiful names and perfect qualities. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th ayat. The saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. In this ayah we have seen before, so we will, like with brevity, mention, just in brief, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, what he said concerning this. First, Shaykh Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentions this ayah, and he just says, part of what he says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's nothing like him. Why? Because he is Al-Fard, the one who is unique alone, As-Samad, the one who is without need, and everyone is in need of him. الَّذِي لَا نَذِيرَ لَهُ. There is no one equal to him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And Imam Shawkani gives a long discussion, and we'll go on to Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. He mentions the beginning of this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and earth, and He has made for you from amongst yourselves wives, and He has made for the animals also wives, yani in pairs, so that you may come into existence through this way of yani spouse through spouse. And then he says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Yani لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٌ, there's nothing like him, there's nothing that resembles him, there's nothing that's like him from the created beings. Not in his that, in his divine being, not in his asma, his names, nor in his sifat, his qualities or descriptions, nor in his af'al, his actions. There's nothing like him in any of this from the created beings, because his names, all of them are husna. Yani, husna is the feminine of ahsan. Yani, ism tafdeel, the highest form of goodness or perfection. That all of Allah's names are the highest form, and nobody is entitled to this. And his sifat are sifat al-kamal wa-azamah. All of his sifats are sifat of perfection and greatness and magnificence. And his actions, through his actions, he has brought all of the created beings into existence without anyone sharing in this action. Therefore, there is nothing that is like him, because he is alone and by himself in perfection from every angle that you want to look at it. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ, yani the one who hears all sounds, even if they are in different languages, and each one asking for whatever they're asking for, something different. And he is basir, he sees, yani the traces or the creeping of the black ant in the darkness of the night on a great tremendous rock. And this is similar to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ of similar meaning, yani showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. And finally, the shaykh closes with saying, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَنَحْوَهَا. That this ayat that the shaykh mentions here, Hafiz Hakami, listen, why did he mention this ayat? As Shaykh Abdul Rahman says, why? And remember that, what time did they live in? Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Does anybody remember Hafiz Hakami? They lived in the same time. In fact, Al-Hafiz Hakami died 1 year after Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Even though Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di was 35 years older than him. But they lived in the same time. He just came later. But they died in the same time. So they lived in the same era. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, هذه الآية ونحوها دليل لمذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. It is a dalil for the madhab of أهل السنة والجماعة. من إثبات الصفات. For the confirmation of the sifat of Allah. ونفي مماثلة. المخلوقات, and the negation of there being any likeness to the created beings. وَفِيهَا, and in this ayat, there is a rad, refutation on the مُشَبِّهَا. The مُشَبِّهَا, in the saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٌ, that there is nothing like him. This refutes those who make comparisons to Allah. وَعَلَى مُعَتِّلَ, and it is a refutation of the مُعَتِّلَ, in the saying of Allah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That indeed Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So this ayat is a classic ayat that confirms the madhhab of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the confirmation of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Himself, and the rejection of there being any comparison or likeness of Allah in these names or in these sifat. And finally, the last ayat that the shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha, 20th Surah, 110th ayat, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. That He, Allah, knows what is before them and what is behind them. The Shawkani says before them, it means مِنْ أَمْرِ السَّاعَةِ, yani what is ahead of them, of the matter of the hour of judgment. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, and what is behind them, مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا, yani what happened in this world. And some scholars explained it differently. But in any case, He knows what is before them and what is behind them. What is ahead and what is, yani, what has passed and what is coming. وَلَا يُحَيْطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. And they, the creatures, do not encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with knowledge. And the scholars give two explanations of this, that they do not encompass His knowledge, or they cannot encompass Allah by their knowledge. And the second interpretation, wallahu alam, is a better interpretation, As Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, يُحِيطُ عِلْمًا, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His knowledge, He encompasses all of the creation, the khalaiq, كُلُّهَا, كُلِّهَا, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, but while they do not encompass Him in their knowledge. And this is similar to the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 255th ayat, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ, and they do not encompass anything of His knowledge except what He wills. And in closing, the saying of Shaykh Abdul Rahman, Imam Shawkani, he said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, that they do not encompass Him with their knowledge. A, they do not encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُحِيطُ أُلُومُهُمْ بِذَاتِهِ وَلَا بِصِفَاتِهِ وَلَا بِمَعْلُومَاتِهِ, that the creatures, even with all of their knowledge that they have, does not encompass Allah's that, His divine being, nor His sifat, and whatever is known about Him. All of this is beyond comprehension of the created being, and therefore it is our obligation to confirm whatever Allah has confirmed about Himself. He is the best knower of that, and to avoid trying to explain it, to interpret it, to distort it in any way, to make comparisons or examples or likenesses, because we do not have such knowledge. The intellect of the human being and the limited knowledge of the human being is not capable of comprehending the realities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, or His names, or His af'al, and therefore this is something that we should avoid, and we should confirm whatever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has confirmed for him, without making any interpretation or distortion or negation or comparison or examples. Accept them just as they are, as they are understood in the Arabic language, and in accordance with the meaning that can be understood from the Arabic language without giving any interpretation to them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Is there any question about what we talked about tonight? Any question about what we talked about tonight? Okay, we have one more class next week, inshallah. And the following week, inshallah, we're going to have a dinner. So whoever is able, please start putting a couple of dollars aside to bring some food to serve yourselves. Jazakumullah khair.